do want to welcome you to our meeting tonight, and what a wonderful time that was to hear you singing the praises of the Lord, and you're in good tune tonight. And we're going to commence by standing to sing 339, wonderful hymn of testimony. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. You ask anybody who's saved in this meeting tonight, and they'll tell you that was the best day of their life, the day they trusted Christ as their Savior. And you know, this can be the most wonderful day in your life too. If you're not saved, Christ is ready and willing and able to save. He's mighty to save. And if you just call upon his name, turning from your sin, this can be a wonderful day, the most wonderful day in your life. Let's stand after the introduction and sing this to the glory of God. Singing and how we rejoice in the work of the Lord in hearts. And many of us can say, but for the grace of God, where would we be? Thank the Lord, God's grace has sought us and found us and saved us. We're in a meeting tonight, preaching, hearing the preaching of the gospel, singing the praises of the Lord, and rejoicing in what the Lord has been doing. We're going to come to pray at this time. We want to seek God's face and give this meeting over to the Lord. We have been praying before the meeting, but just at the start of this gathering, we want to commit ourselves onto Him, acknowledging that without Him we can do nothing. Without Him there would be no blessing. But praise the Lord, He has promised to meet with His people, and therefore we are coming into His presence tonight to plead His blessing. Our gracious Lord and our eternal Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we are found tonight in Thy house, and we are thankful that we can approach the throne of grace in the name and in the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice that there's access to a holy God through the finished work of His Son. We thank Thee for redemption ground, the ground of peace. We thank Thee for the place where the blood was sprinkled. We rejoice that our Saviour has not only lived for His people, and not only has He died for His people, we thank Thee He's risen again for His people, for our justification. And the promise is that He is coming again, and we shall see Him as He is. O Lord, what a day that will be, whenever time shall be no more, whenever the skies and the clouds roll back like a scroll, and our Saviour, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Judge of all living, the One who holds this world in the palm of His hand, comes to this world to receive His own. Lord, we do not know when that will happen, but thank God for the Christian. They can say, if the Lord should come in my lifetime, what a glorious day that will be. The things of this world will be left behind. Sin and sorrow will be no more. We shall ever be with the Lord. We realize, Lord, that it may not be Thy will to come in our lifetime. And each of us have to face the valley of the shadow of death. We all must needs die. And Lord, we do not know when that will be. Lord, some of us could be standing in the very brink of eternity. Some of us could just be minutes away. We have no knowledge of it. But, O Lord, tonight we thank Thee that the child of God can have the knowledge that it's well with their soul, and that they are in the hand of the Lord. And my prayer tonight, Lord, for this gathering is, if there's any man or woman or young person, and they do not know for sure that they are saved, that this will be the night they settle the matter of their soul salvation, that they leave this meeting knowing they're saved by the grace of God, washed in the precious blood, that they know for sure, should the Lord come tonight, or should the Lord call tonight, and they be brought out into eternity, that they know it's absent from the body, present with the Lord. Oh, Lord, forbid it that people would sit in a gospel meeting, having sung some of these wonderful hymns, having heard the preaching of God's truth, and then be found in hell for all eternity. Oh, Lord, what a horror it must be, remembering the words of the songs about the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ in hell, and knowing you never partake of that salvation. What it must be for a soul to be in hell and remember the meetings where the preacher faithfully preached the gospel, knowing they can never respond. Oh, Lord, we pray tonight You will give an earnestness to hearts. Give a solemnity, even of eternity in this gathering. Lord, we've come to the end almost of this gospel campaign. And Lord, we would fear lest people would walk away and say no to God for the final time. Oh, Lord, stir hearts tonight, we pray. We thank Thee for what Thou hast done. We give Thee all the praise and the honor and the glory. Souls have been saved, and we thank Thee, Lord, for this. But Lord, there are many more that need to come. Give our brother tonight great liberty, as he would preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. May he have the privilege of pointing many more precious souls to Calvary. Lord, deepen the desire within the hearts of Thy people to go and reach the lost, to be faithful in prayer, to work while it is yet day, for the night will come when no man can work. Lord, we thank Thee for what Thou hast done, even within our own hearts, within this congregation. And we are looking forward, Lord, tonight, to a blessed time in Thy presence. Lord, we long for the breath of heaven tonight. We long for that quickening spirit tonight. We long, O God, that we will hear Thy voice in the songs, in the preaching, Lord, within our heart. Oh, Lord, speak tonight with a voice that wakes the dead. Speak tonight with a voice that called Lazarus forth from the grave. Speak, oh, Lord, with a voice that called that lame man to get up and walk. Oh, Lord, speak tonight with a voice that said, let there be light. And there was light. Oh, Lord, may we hear thee tonight. May we see our Savior in all his glory. And may we come at the end of this meeting rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Souls who've been saved by the grace of God. Lord, we need thee tonight. We stand in a great need. But we rejoice we have a great Savior who can meet us at the point of our need. Be glorified tonight, Lord, we pray. For it's in Jesus' precious and worthy name we ask these things. Amen and amen. Well, we are glad tonight to have our brother James Gailey along tonight, and our brother is going to come and minister to us in song.
It's good to be with you tonight. Just 2 seconds.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Twice blind, but now I see. Twice grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. Thee are I first believed. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, He the perfect Son of Man. In His living, in His suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law in which we stand. Come behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon a tree. In the stead of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death, the God of life. But no grave could e'er restrain Him, praise the Lord, He is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when He comes.
Thank you, brother, for ministering to us tonight and pointing us to the Lord and to the grace that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give. Now, tonight, as you know, or today, I should say, is the 30th anniversary of the opening of the complex. I'm going to ask you to do something. If you were here 30 years ago today at the opening of the complex, just put your hand up to see how many have come back after 30 years. There you go. That's good. That's good. If you're not sure, you'll maybe see in a wee moment. We have a wee video here to show just of a few snippets, because we obviously can't show the whole hour and a half, 2 hour meeting, whatever length of time it was. So we have a little bit of a hymn that was sung. There was a choir sang. We have a verse in the course of that. The children of the Sunday school sang here across the front, and then we have a little snippet just of Dr. Paisley saying a few words about the opening of this hall. It's just about 5 minutes or so, but we're going to play that just now if you want to come and we can watch it right here.
Oh, my sins, yeah, forgive. gather mid sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory, through his precious name. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, sometimes we dream together how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family.
And all of us are thrilled at this magnificent family mansion for the church family of Macrefeld that has been opened here today. And I'm sure these walls will resound with prayer and with praise, with the cries of newborn souls and with the rejoicings of the people of God. That it will be a Bethel indeed, a house of God, and a gate to heaven.
We should have called this place the mansion. We missed out on that one. We're coming to the mansion. So you remember that on the way up to the hill next time. It's very precious, isn't it, seeing some of those faces. And we know that some have gone before us. And some of those young people are sitting in the meeting tonight. And I'm sure they've recognized themselves. And it's lovely to look back and see God's grace. We'll be showing a couple more snippets out of that video on Friday night in the will of the Lord. Can I just say a thank you to everyone who has come tonight? And I just want to simply say publicly tonight, thank you to the Lord for what he's done in our mission. We have to say thank you to the Lord first and foremost. God's people have been blessed through the teaching, through the prayer times, and through the fellowship. And we give God great thanks and praise and honor for that. Souls have been saved, and once again, to God be all the glory. And the word of God has been sown in many, many hearts. And we pray that yet we will hear of souls who have trusted in Christ through this mission. I want to say thank you to some people here tonight. I want to thank all who prayed at home and in the public prayer meetings. We thank God for the spirit of prayer that there was, and we trust that will continue. I want to thank those who, in a very practical way, set up and tidied each evening and greeted the congregation as they came through the door, those who helped with the media. I want to thank those who led the community singing, those who sang in the meetings, those who played the music for the meetings, and many people were involved in all of those things, and we want to thank them for their service for the Lord. To all who attended, to all who invited others, who shared the invitation, who gave the invitation, who brought people to the meetings, and all who provided tea for the preacher each evening. And we do want to thank you in the Saviour's name. Little as much when God is in it. We thank you for giving your best to the Lord even over this mission. I want to say a special word of thanks to the Reverend Martin, for we have been richly, richly blessed, and we know we will be blessed again this evening. And our brother has been a good friend and an encouragement in the gospel. And we as a congregation, simply on behalf of our session committee, just want to give you this small token as a thank you for your faithfulness. The Lord will continue to bless you, and we know he will keep his hand upon you and your ministry. Now, there is a love offering being taken up tonight, and that will be passed on after the meeting, as we mentioned yesterday. But this is just a small token from our congregation. One thing I do want to say is this. While this event, this particular event, this gospel campaign does draw to a close tonight, the work and the mission of the gospel and reaching the lost continues. This is not the end of our work. This is not the end of our evangelism. This is not the end of going out to reach souls. And our prayer is that as people have been brought into these gospel meetings, they would also be brought into the gospel services. And you would see that simply as the mission that we would seek to serve the Lord and see souls saved week by week in the church. We have two events coming up at the end of this week. Friday is our Sunday school reunion. We remind you of that. And then Saturday is youth fellowship praise service. Both of those events are at 8 o'clock. The Sunday school reunion in the church, the praise service over here in the complex. And we do encourage you to come back and bring others. And the gospel will be preached at each event. And we do certainly pray that the Lord will be pleased to reach down even at the end of this week and save precious souls. The Lord has been so good, and we want to give him the glory this evening. We're going to sing one more hymn, and then we're coming to the preaching of the word of the Lord. That hymn is 334, and that was sung 30 years ago in this very room. This is one of the hymns that was sung at the opening service. It was down at the feet of Jesus, oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. And we're going to sing it as well as we did back then. And we're going to stand to our feet after the introduction.
That was good singing, and also our brother James, good to hear you again in the gospel. Just want to concur with the remarks of your minister, and just to say how delighted we are to see you. I had myself convinced there'll be nobody here. I thought to myself, I've worn them out 2 weeks shouting at them. 2 weeks, and just going about a minute past nine every night, hi, right? And I thought to myself, that definitely, I had myself convinced this morning that I needn't bother even getting into the car and coming down tonight. But I was very surprised, very, very surprised to see you all in here this evening. And we're delighted to see you. And then when I did see the show of hands for how many people were here 30 years ago, I realized that 2 weeks was nothing to you. 2 weeks. You're still here 30 years later. So what am I complaining about? 2 weeks preaching. And Dr. Paisley, he would probably say he wasn't a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but he says that these walls will reverberate with praise and prayer and preaching, and it will become a place where precious souls come to know Christ, and how true that is across these 30 years that this has been the birthplace of many precious souls. And we trust the Lord will give you many more good years in service for him. And you just think of 30 years ago, some of you maybe saw yourselves and you had a wee bit more hair. I noticed that. I definitely did. I noticed that. And then there was a young man in that Sunday school, and I'm sure you prayed for him. And now he's in your pulpit, the Reverend Rand McKee. Just we saw him in the Sunday school singing away. And many others, I'm sure. And it's been a blessing. And we trust the Lord will encourage you. I just want to say a personal word of thanks to the congregation, the session committee, for your love, for your kindness, and for your encouragement and your support, your prayers. And I trust the Lord will just bond us together in that friendship, and in years to come, that we will maintain that friendship, and that the Lord will bless you as a congregation. And as you think of me, I think of you, and pray much for you here in Macrofelt. Can I say that there was a lot of folks who were mentioned, and some folks who they'd given thanks to, but he left one person out, that's all I can say, and that was himself. I'd like just to thank our brother, the Reverend McKee, for very ably leading these services. It's not easy. I tell you the truth, I'd rather preach than lead a service. That's a fact. I would. I'd rather sit there and just let another man carry the burden at the start and at the end and just come in the middle. But I want to say just how blessed we were as he led these services, as he opened in prayer, and the way he conducted himself, and we do appreciate that. And I'd like to thank him on a personal note for the fellowship in the gospel. I class him as a good friend. I'm sure he has the same thoughts as myself. And me being the senior man, he looks after me and keeps me right. But we're delighted to see you all, and thank you very much for joining with us. And to those that are listening on the World Wide Web, there should be at least one listening tonight, and that's our brother Paul. He's down in England, and he's sailing up here tomorrow night. I don't know if you've mastered the technology. I was very tempted, just as I was addressing, if Paul was listening, just to actually freeze like that. Just to see if he were banging buttons to see, and then go, don't be hitting any buttons, Paul. But I chose not to, because the internet does buffer. And there's a lot of folks said to me, we have seen you, and your mouth is open, and your arms are like this. You're like a robot. And it stays on, and we have a good laugh, and then we knock it off, and it rebuffers or whatever it is, and gets you back to normal again. But Paul, hopefully you've mastered the technology. I did say I'll give him a shout, and I trust he is listening tonight. I'm sure he is, and many others as well. We thank you for your messages of support. We're delighted to see you all, and we welcome you in the Saviour's precious name. I've just one little text of scripture. In fact, it's just a little phrase. It's a question. Just five words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew's Gospel, we're looking at chapter 22, and we're going to consider some words from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, please. And it's just that little question of our Lord in verse 42, when he said, what think ye of Christ? Matthew 22 and verse 42, and we read those words, what think ye of Christ? It was a very important question in the Lord's day, by the way. In fact, it was a question that was up for debate, no doubt, when the Lord asked that, because they were already debating this question. What think ye of Christ? There's no doubt they were, what think ye of this man who says he's the Messiah? What think ye of Christ? And there was big debate. So it was a big question, and it was a great question in our Lord's day. And I want to tell you, that is one of the greatest questions you could ever face or answer. We've asked some questions. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ in this mission? But here's a question right from Christ himself. And he's more or less saying, what do you think of me? What do you think of me? Not the preacher. I don't want to hear what you think of me. You can tell some others, but don't tell me, because I'm not asleep. You know, I'm very sensitive. Very sensitive. All ministers are sensitive, and we do post-mortems more than the mortuary would do on ourselves, that is. But here's the question. What think ye of Christ? No greater question can you face. It's the greatest question facing mankind today. Not only what Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? But here's the question. It comes to you as a sinner, but also as a believer. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? What do you think of Christ? I want to look at that question tonight as the Lord gives me help in the gospel. Let's just bow briefly in a word of prayer. We'll seek the Lord's face together and ask for help in the ministry of the word. Loving Father, we thank thee for thy presence. We take this opportunity to thank thee for the gospel mission. We thank thee, Lord, for its commencement. Lord, we thank thee for the nights of the gospel campaigning, a deep sense of thy presence. We thank thee for answers to prayer. Thank thee for souls saved. We thank thee, Lord, for those who have heard the gospel and those who have listened and tuned in online. We thank thee for those who have come themselves, and we do rejoice in those who have come to sing, to help in the gospel meeting, those who have come early to pray and met early in the morning and prayed at 1, Lord, p.m. every day. Lord, we thank thee for answers to prayer, and we just lift our hearts, Lord, before we begin to preach. And on a personal note, I thank thee, Lord, for giving me help, for journeying mercies and traveling grace. Thank thee for giving energy to the physical man and giving, Lord, spiritual power to preach the word of Christ. And I praise thee, Lord, for each infilling of the Spirit of the living God. And now, Lord, I am trusting thee for power. We know that thine shall never fail. Words which thou thyself shall give me must and they will prevail. Give to me prevailing words now. Grant to me cleansing through the blood, the infilling of the Holy Ghost with wisdom and with power. And Father, do save the lost, restore the backslidden, revive the church, and Father, glorify thy Son. And the people of God said, Amen. It was John Newton who wrote that great hymn, What Think Ye of Christ is the Test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears to your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. And you know, friends, it behoves each one of us to answer that question in the deep recess of our heart and in our minds before God, to answer that question honestly. What think ye of Christ? It was the great question in our Lord's day, and it has been the great question ever since. What think ye of Christ? You know, there are some in this world and they think nothing of Jesus Christ. If you talk to them, they think nothing of his gospel. They think nothing of his servants. They think nothing of his kingdom or his cause. They think nothing of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. They have no interest as to who he is. They might even say, well, we studied it when I was at school in RE, and he was an historical figure, the same as Napoleon and the rest. And that's all I think about Jesus Christ. I think nothing of Christ. And there are those in this province, and there are those in this world, and they don't even think about or have any concern of what he has done on the cross. It doesn't seem to interest them. It doesn't attract their attention. There's no affection in their heart and little love in their soul for the Son of the living God who suffered and bled and died upon the cross. And when you ask them, what think ye of Christ? They think nothing of Christ. They ridicule his gospel. They try at present to bring legislation to stop his preachers preaching on the street or evangelizing around the doors. They want to silence, and we have seen that recently when people would stand against us. We do quite a lot of open air work in Cumber, and we go around the various housing developments and we preach the gospel, and the antagonism and the hatred for Christ. And when you engage them at the door, the venom that comes now from society, and there's a deep-seated hatred for Jesus Christ. And if you were to ask them, what think ye of Christ, you might not get the answer that you're looking for. An evangelist stood on the street, and he was giving out gospel literature, and there was a hotel just adjacent to him. And he went over, and as he was giving out gospel literature, this famous actress came out through the door. And he handed her, before she got into her car, to head for the boat to sail across to Southampton. And he gave her this gospel tract, and she took the tract out of his hand, and she threw it on the ground, and she stamped her feet on it. And I cannot repeat to you what that woman said to that evangelist. She got on to that boat, but she never got to Southampton. In fact, her body wasn't even found on the boat. They say that she was murdered by a man that she had in her cabin. And he opened the porthole and he pushed her body out to sea. And when they got to Southampton, they couldn't find her. Her name was Gay Gibson. And the man to this day would deny that he had anything to do with her murder. He has an explanation. But it is ironic, isn't it, that this woman had no thought of Christ. And verbally she gave her view and answered the question, "What think ye of Christ?" I couldn't tell you in this meeting house what she said when she threw the tract on the ground and what she said about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. But I want to ask the question of you, what think ye of Christ? There are some who think nothing of Christ, but there are those who think wrongly of Christ. In other words, we have, even in the Muslim religion and in Islam, they think wrongly of Jesus Christ. There are those who are cults and sects, and they believe that Jesus Christ was a good man, that he might even have been a prophet. And the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons do not believe that he is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that he is God manifest in the flesh. There are those who will say, well, he's a good person, you know. Even so-called Protestants, we have witnessed to, even those in loyal orders, some of them would believe that Jesus Christ was just a man and that he wasn't God. Imagine. They think wrongly of Christ. Some say, well, you know, he's left to mankind a good example to follow. Jesus Christ did not come into this world to leave us a good example to follow. Although he is a good example to follow. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That's why he came. And when I call him Savior, I call him by his name, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I want to tell you that some believe that they may even concede that he is a prophet, and just like Moses and the rest. But I want to tell you, he is the great prophet. He's the great high priest, and he is the messenger of Jehovah. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He is Elohim. He is Adonai. He is El Shaddai. He is every compound name of the Lord. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. He's all of those things and much more beside. I want to tell you, my friend, he is God. Do you believe that? What think ye of Christ? Is he God? Is he God and man in two distinct natures and one unique person, the mediator between God and men, the only redeemer of God's elect, the only savior of the world? What think ye of Christ? That's the test, isn't it? That's the test tonight. That's the acid test. What do you think of Jesus Christ tonight? There are those who think nothing of Christ. There are those who think wrongly of Christ. But those who think wickedly of Christ. They despise his word. They deny that he is God manifest in human flesh. They desecrate his day. They mock and they oppose his gospel, and they defy his laws. They persecute his church. They blaspheme his holy name. We only have to go to certain countries today and you will discover. And the World Cup has not only brought to light some of the injustice of certain countries, but I want to tell you something, where Christians are put to death just for carrying a Bible. Whereas Islam and Muslims can carry the Quran in open public spaces in this country. They can even preach in the open air. They can have their call to prayer. They can have their mosque open, one recently in Coleraine. In some other countries, you would not be allowed to carry a Bible or even mention in public the name of Christ. And they think wickedly of Christ. They blaspheme his name. And yet there are some perhaps here And you say, well, look, preacher, I don't think wrongly of him, and I don't think nothing of him, and I certainly don't think wickedly of him, but you don't think much of him. You spurn his offer of mercy. You choose to reject him naturally. You walk away from his call. You turn a deaf ear to his invitations. You look at his cross and it doesn't bring you to repentance. You look at his shed blood and it doesn't make you desire to come with your sin, to be washed in that blood and to be cleansed from your sin. I want to tell you, a right view of Jesus Christ will save your precious, never-dying soul, and it will bring you everlasting life. But a wrong view of Christ, even a rejecting view of Christ, will damn your soul in hell and in the torments of the place where God has forgotten to be gracious. Here's what I want to do tonight. I want to take this text and I want to lift it out of its context. I want to take this text on a journey tonight. And here's what I want to do. I want to call things and people to this pulpit. And I want to ask the question of them, what think ye of Christ? And I want you to be the audience in one sense. But at a point, I'll bring you to this pulpit. And I will ask the question of you, whether saved or unsaved. Let me take this text then on a journey, firstly, to Holy Scripture, to Scripture, and ask the question of the Word of God, what think ye of Christ? And there's no doubt the Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is unique, that there is none like him. He is an uncreated being. He is an uncreated being because he is deity veiled in humanity. He is God manifest in the flesh. I want to tell you, my friend, it's what is known as the mystery of godliness. And Paul writes to Timothy, and that's exactly what he says. He says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And our Lord Jesus Christ, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, Christ is the Creator. He is Elohim, the Creator in Genesis. When you read your Bible, you come across that name, God, capital G, small case O-D. And when you see that in the Old Testament, that's the name Elohim. You don't have to go to Bible college to know these words. You just need to know exactly in your English translation. When you see capital G and small O and D, case, then you know that word God is the name Elohim. It's the name of the Creator God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is God Elohim, the Creator of the ends of the earth. And the one you reject, and the one you despise, and the one that you turn from, and the one that you spurn, whose cross has little interest in your heart. He's God, the Creator. He created you. He formed you in Adam. And it's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, what think ye of Christ? Is he God? Because if he's not, he cannot save you. If he's not, he cannot be a savior for sinners. It's remarkable that no high archangel or highest archangel, no seraphim or cherubim, neither Gabriel or Michael, the only names that we are given in Scripture of angels, were ever commissioned by God to come into this world to die for man, the creature's sin. But God himself, how big, how enormous was the debt of sin that only God himself could pay for that sin. You've got to think of that. No mere man can ever atone for his soul or save his soul from its sin. No highest archangel, no matter how holy they are and how righteous they are, and they remained in their created order, although Lucifer and a third of the created angels fell, Not even the highest archangel could come. Such was the enormity of your sin and mine that it took God Himself to come into this world to deal with our sin. And yet, we treat sin so lightly, don't we? We treat sin as if it doesn't count. It doesn't matter. Sure, what is a few lies and a few wicked things in life? It's nothing. I want to tell you, that's not how God saw it. The enormous debt of sin, God Himself, the second person of the triune Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world. And He had to be born as a man. He had to be virgin born in order that He might take on our humanity, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, all for the suffering of death. And then as a true man, He lived a sinlessly perfect life. And then He offered Himself as a sacrifice to God, as the sinless, spotless, impeccable Son of the living God. And God the Father poured out His wrath upon our sin on the body of His dear Son. And then God, after He finished the work of redemption, raised Him from the dead and exalted Him to the highest place that heaven could afford. And now He sits there as our priest and as our prophet and as our king. And He's the Savior of the world and He's the Savior of sinners. I want to tell you, He's coming back again. This same Jesus that went from earth to heaven will return again to this earth, and He's coming back. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now tell me, what think ye of Christ? Newton said these words, some take Him a creature to be, a man or an angel at most. Sure, these have no feelings like me, and know not themselves wretched and lost. So guilty, so helpless am I. I durst not confide in His blood, nor on His protection rely, unless I was sure He was God. And He is God manifest in the flesh. The rejection of Jesus Christ is the spurning of God's mercy. Rejection of Christ is rejection of your Creator, of your Sovereign. And I could bring the Sovereign to this pulpit and ask heaven, what think ye of Christ? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Can I say to you, if I was to bring you to this pulpit right now, you were to stand here and I ask the question of you, how would you answer? Would you be willing to come now to this pulpit as an unsaved man or woman or young person, boy or girl? And let me ask the question, what think ye of Christ? And you should answer the question honestly. Well, preacher, I don't think much of Him because He's not my Savior. I can't truthfully say He's forgiven me my sins. I can't say that I'm saved by His grace and washed in His blood. What think ye of Christ tonight? Is He nothing to you? Does He not mean anything? Has your soul no affection and no love for the Son of the living God? Let me do something else. Let me take the question now, not only to Scripture, and by the way, we could have gone anywhere, as you know. Let me take it to the saints. What I mean by that is those that are saved, those that are born again. I would love to do this tonight and change this meeting completely. And if the Spirit of God led me to do this, I would do it, but He hasn't. So I'm doing it metaphorically. Unless you want to raise your hand and say, I'll tell you what I think of Christ, I'll let you do that. I'm giving you a moment, but I'll tell you this. I could tell you what I think of Him. But let me call. I know there's a host of saints that are now shouting in my ear. Let me tell the folks here in Macrofeld and what I think of Jesus Christ. There's Adam. Adam comes, the first sinner, the first rebel from God, the first one that's separated from God and from the life and enjoyment of his Maker, the first man that sinned and plunged all mankind into a state of sin and misery and rebellion. Let's hear your view. What think ye of Christ, Adam? And Adam would come and say, "He is my covering in the garden of sin and shame. He is my way back to God." I have to cut you short there, Adam. There's so many others want to tell us what they think of Christ. I think of Abel. Abel would say, "He's my lamb, sacrificed as my perfect substitute. The one that my brother Cain rejected. The way to God that he despised. Christ is my lamb. His blood is my covering and my cleansing. He is my salvation from judgment to come." I think of Noah. "He is my ark of safety, into which I went, and along with my family, we were saved, only 8 of us, from the terrible judgment of the flood. He is my ark of safety." What think ye of Christ? I think of Abraham, and he would say, "Let me tell you what I think of Jesus. I gave up family and home. I gave up everything. And when I went out, not knowing where I was going, to a land that I believed that he would give me, and I sacrificed every Isaac on the altar that I might find him whom my soul loveth." Oh, I can see now Moses. "I forsook Egypt and its riches and its pleasure and its pomp and its pride, and I gladly suffered reproach for Christ, because he is everything to me. He is my Passover lamb that set me free from the bondage of sin and shame." I think of David and Solomon, father and son coming to the pulpit. "Let me tell you what I think," says David and Solomon, "of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God." And they would say, "He is my rock and my salvation. He is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He is the lily of the valleys. He's the rose of Sharon fair. He is the altogether lovely one. He is my shepherd. He is my light and my salvation. He is my wisdom. And he is my Lord and my God." Let's come to the New Testament. I think of John the Baptist. We have to bring him here to the pulpit. John, what think ye of Christ? "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Ah, Peter, what think ye of Christ? "Ah, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the Son of the living God." Ah, Paul, we could not leave you out, could we? "For to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Christ is everything to me." And Paul has already told us that when he said, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." What about Thomas, that resurrection morn, who was absent when the Lord appeared? "Thomas, what think ye of Christ?" He bows his knees, you can't even see him here. And he cries, "My Lord, my God." I want to tell you, what about the saved in this meeting house just now, listening on the internet? Let me bring you to the pulpit here. What think ye of Christ? Listen to individual and yet collective testimony. "He's my Savior. He saved me from my sins. He is my Redeemer. He has redeemed me from the slave market of sin. He paid the price for me. He is my only hope for heaven. I once trusted in my baptism. I looked to my confirmation. I thought one day I would get there by my good works, but now I see him, my only hope for heaven and eternity." And there's another man stands and he says, "He's Jesus, the lover of my soul." Oh, there's another lady and she stands up. "I want to tell you what I think of Jesus. He's everything to me. He's my all in all." And there's a young person standing up and says, "He's king of my life. He reigns supreme in my heart. And then there's others who will say by experience, he's the shepherd of my life. He's the source of my life. He's the standard of my life. He's the satisfaction of my life. And could I just jump in? Who am I? Could I just jump in and say, he is my everything. He is my all. And I say all to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender all. Every part, Lord. Every piece on the altar for thee. Now tell me, what think ye of Christ? How do you value him? Is there no love in your heart for the Son of God? Tell me, what think ye of Christ? I want to tell you something. If I bring that question right now to you, I wonder how you would answer. There's no doubt there's 1,000 thoughts going through your mind, but they're not correct. What think ye of Christ? I brought the question to Scripture. I brought the question to the saints or the saved. Let me do something now, because this is a singing church. Let me bring the question to the songwriters. They talk about their Hollywood stars, their pop stars. I want to tell you something. There are no better songs than the songs of Zion. There's no better words. And there's no better melody. No matter what you've danced to in the past. And I know some of you haven't danced for over 30 years. We know that because you were in that video and you're still here today. But I want to tell you something. The reason why you can sing tonight for the Lord is because your tune is joyful and your theme is Jesus. That's all you sing about. In my foolish days, I stood on the slopes of Mournview Park. That's Glenavon Football's ground, by the way. How did you not know that? Come on. And I sung until I was hoarse, like a fool. I don't think I can remember too many matches they actually won. But I sung and sung until I was hoarse. And I couldn't sing. You see, when I got saved, the Lord put a new song. A new song into my mouth. Even praise unto our God. I want to tell you, we have a hymn book filled with songwriters who want to come to this pulpit tonight to tell us what they think of Jesus Christ. I want to bring some. I can't bring them all. You'd appreciate that. I want to bring some. I want to bring one lady, Manny Payne Ferguson. She was born in Carlow in Ireland. She penned the words. I want to read them to you in case I can't remember them. First of all, the earth beside. Wow. Chiefest of all unto thy bride. Fullness divine in thee I see. Oh, he's a wonderful man of Calvary. And then comfort of all my earthly way. Jesus, I'll meet thee some sweet day. Center of glory, thee I see. Wonderful man of Calvary. That man of Calvary has won my heart from me. And died to set me free. Blessed man of Calvary. Let me bring someone else to the pulpit. One of my favorite authors. Johnson Oatman Jr. I could go, and I don't want to waste time here, but I could say some things. I'm deliberately holding back here for the sake of time. Johnson Oatman Jr. Find out his hymns and sing them tonight before you go to bed. There's some classic hymns. I think his masterpiece must be When Upon Life's Billows You're Tempest Tossed, Count Your Many Blessings. But Johnson Oatman Jr., I'd have to bring him here tonight. What think ye of Christ? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. I want to bring someone else to you. You may not know him, but you know his hymn. William Rolfe Featherston, he penned these words. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus 'tis now. I want to bring one of my favourite hymns to you tonight. Thurl Harris, "Who Can Cheer the Heart Like Jesus?" By his presence, all divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call him mine. Listen to it. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. I want to bring another man to this pulpit, and I'll probably get his name wrong. Charles F. Weigel. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he's precious. Now, what about you? If I was to bring you to this pulpit tonight, what could you say about Christ? What think ye of Christ? Is he the theme of your song? Has he established your goings? Has he lifted you from the fearful pit? Has he put a new song into your mouth, even praise unto your God? Maybe you have nothing to sing about because you don't know Christ as your own and personal Savior. You're not trusting in his finished work. You're not washed in his precious blood. You're not born of his gracious and supernatural and powerful Spirit. You have no hope to cheer the tomb. No one could gather around your bedside and have you sing and sing along with them as our brother did, "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." You couldn't sing it. You might even have it as your funeral hymn. I don't know. But honestly, you couldn't sing it now. You couldn't say, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved." He hasn't. A wretch like me, you've never admitted it, confessed it, acknowledged it, and come to the Lord as a wretch like me. And you know nothing of amazing grace. You couldn't sing really the hymns that we were singing tonight. The hymns we were singing during the mission. Some of the hymns in church. You could sing them, yes, but you didn't know the Savior. The experience wasn't there. I want to tell you, things can be different, can't they? You can end this mission on the last night by coming to Christ, repenting of your sin, and you'll go out through those doors and you'll be able to say, "What think ye of Christ? He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. And he's the lover of my soul. And he says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And he has saved me by his grace, and he'll keep me by his power, and he has given me everlasting life. And one day, if I die or he returns, I'll be with him, which will be better by far." So let me finally bring the text to the sinner, and actually bring the sinner to this pulpit right now. We have brought the text to Scripture. We brought it to the saved. We brought it to the songwriters. There's many others we could have had in the pulpit. But let me bring it now, finally, to the sinner. Let me bring the sinner to this pulpit and to this congregation and to the internet. Let me bring you here, metaphorically, of course. But here you are with me. And there you're standing beside me, and I'm asking you the question publicly, in front of everyone. And I want you to answer it. What think ye of Christ? What do you think of his person? Is he God? Do you believe that? Is he man, born of a virgin? What think ye of his sinless, perfect life? The life that he lived in the days of his flesh, whereby he did something for guilty sinners like you and me, and he lived a perfect life that we couldn't live. He satisfied the righteousness of the law. You see, God's law, and God's law alone, is that which we are judged by. And unless we're perfect, we'll never be in heaven. Well, that preacher, no one will be there. You're right, of ourselves. That's why Christ came. And in the days of his flesh, as a true man, he did something for those who repent and believe on him. He fulfilled the righteousness of the law, that which you cannot keep, that which you have broken. And if you offend in one part, James says, you're guilty of all. Because if you were to commit murder, but you didn't commit adultery, you'll still go to hell. You're guilty of all. If you offend in one part, it's as if you've broken every commandment. That's what James says. That's the teaching. If you offend in one part, if you commit adultery, they say, then that's sin, and any sin. If you covet, if you tell lies, if you blaspheme, you take the Lord's name in vain, if you desecrate the Lord's day, if you break any of these commandments, if you offend in one part, you're guilty of all. For one sin is a damning sin. And it doesn't matter whether you haven't committed murder or adultery or you haven't been a thief. If you've been a liar and a covetous person, if you haven't loved the Lord with all your heart and your fellow man with all your might and soul, then you're a sinner. And listen, you're guilty of all breaking of the law. Each carries with it an eternal penalty. Now what think ye of Christ, who fulfilled the law for you, establishing righteousness for you? You see, when I stand before God now, and I am before him, I stand in what is known as the righteousness of Christ. It's given over to my account. I stand righteous for the righteousness of Christ imputed unto me, given over to my account. And I'm accepted with God on the ground of imputed righteousness. Christ kept the law for me. Now, what think ye of that? What think ye of Christ coming as God, being a true man and fulfilling the righteousness of the law for sinners who repent and believe? What think ye of Christ and his sorrows and sufferings at Calvary, his substitutionary death, his lovely life poured out in atoning death? What think ye of Christ with the very hair from off his face plucked out, the crown of thorns on his brow? What think ye of Christ when you see him spat upon by mankind, ridiculed, blindfolded, and then slapped with the palm of the hand, and then mocked, if you're God, tell us who hit you? And then that Roman whip, leather, pieces of bone and lead inside it, and lacerated his body until the flesh appeared, and then you could see the very bone. What think ye of Christ as he carries his cross to Golgotha's hill, stooping, having someone else to take it up and carry, a shame and a spectacle of woe, because he loves sinners like you and me? What think ye of Christ when he was nailed to that Roman gibbet and suspended between heaven and earth, the holy God and sinful man? Now you could think, I know there's controversy over what way Christ was crucified, with his hands down or across, but if you take the cross, Christ has holy God in one hand, who's angry with the sinner and their sin. And he has wicked rebellion, rebellious sinner in this hand. And through his body and his sacrifice, he's reconciling a holy God through his death and resurrection to sinful fallen man. Now what think ye of that? Nothing. Nothing. Well, God knows no other way to get your attention and to save your soul. And reject that, then you'll be asking the question, what will Christ think of me? What will Christ think of me when I stand before him on the judgment day? Is there no love, no concern, no affection for the Son of God in your heart, young person, older person? What think ye of Christ? Matters little what people think of you or what you think of others or me. The question is, what think ye of Christ? Can you answer it? If you say, a preacher, for years I have thought little or nothing, but tonight's different. You know, I see him now just exactly as you presented to me in the gospel. I see him as my Savior. I see him as my Redeemer. I see him as my only hope for heaven. I see him tonight as the one who can forgive me my sin. I see him at last as the one who did die and did rise and paid the price for me. I see him as the only one that loves me and cares enough for me. I see him as one who is calling me, and I must come. I must come tonight. What think ye of Christ? Tell me. Do you see him as your Savior? Have you met him at the cross? What think ye of Christ tonight? Will you not come and see him as your all in all? Repent of your sin. Believe on him to the saving of your soul. And then you'll be able to say, going out through these doors, if we were to shake your hand and say, well, what think ye of Christ now? You'd say, he's my Savior and he's my Lord. And he has given to me a righteousness that cannot be tainted. He has given to me a peace that cannot be disturbed, an inheritance that's reserved for me. And until then, he'll keep me by his power unto the day of judgment and resurrection. Now, what think ye of Christ? Think well of him. Do the right thing by him. And I don't want to scare anyone, but I want to tell you this. It's happened. It's happened recently. Whenever a gospel mission is over, quite often it's God's final call for some. It may be, I don't know. But quite often the death angel visits, either during or after a mission. Symbolic tonight, I want you to see this. The last person out of this meeting house will switch out the lights. They'll leave the house in darkness. That's symbolic. That for some sinner who attended the mission or who was invited and didn't come, that they will spend eternity in hell in the blackness of darkness forever. I want to tell you this. Quite often the death angel visits a district after there has been an intensified work of evangelism, a special effort burdened by the Spirit of God put on the hearts of the session committee, and the congregation respond to it. When this mission's over, and it will be very soon, within a few minutes, opportunity can go with it, and the death angel can visit, and in eternity you'll be tormented with a question: what think ye of Christ? Do the right thing by Christ tonight and come and trust him as your Savior. We'll hand back to your minister, the Reverend McKee, who'll close with a hymn.
Once again, we thank our brother for the faithful preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hymn that we've chosen for the conclusion of this mission is 289, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And had the blood not been shed, and had Christ not died, we would not dare approach God. We would never be accepted. But Christ has died. And the blood has been shed to make us clean, to bring us nigh to a holy God. And tonight, if you are a sinner, estranged from God, an enemy of God, on your way to hell, then we urge you to come to Christ. He's ready and willing and able to save, and he will hear your cry tonight. Let's sing verse 1, verse number 3, and verse number 5. 1, 3, and 5, and then we'll remain standing for prayer.
Thank you.
let's just close our eyes and bow our heads. That final verse we sang says, just as I am, Lord, thou wilt receive. You will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because I promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. Do you believe his promise tonight? Do you believe he will cleanse from every sin? Do you believe he will give you life and freedom and eternity in heaven? If you call upon him, well, what's holding you back? Just call upon Jesus tonight, just where you stand. Don't wait until you go home. Don't wait until another night of gospel preaching. But while the Lord is striving with you, while he has revealed your need and he has revealed his Savior, call upon him in faith. And the wonderful promise of God's word is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Little baby knows to call, even in a time of need, to its mother or to its father. Call tonight. Just call on the Lord to save you. And praise God, he'll hear and answer your cry. Heavenly Father, we thank thee. And we praise thee that we have been in the presence of the Lord. We know, Lord, that thou hast been here tonight. Lord, our hearts as God's people have been thrilled as we have thought about what Jesus means to us. Yes. And Lord, we can say amen to those wonderful testimonies, to those wonderful songs that have been penned. And Lord, we thank thee. We can say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Lord, what a privilege tonight to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To know that when we meet thee in eternity, Lord, it will be a time of rejoicing. Lord, we do not fear meeting thee because our sins are under the blood. And the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us. And therefore, we stand accepted in the beloved. Loved as Christ is loved. Accepted as Christ is accepted. And none can pluck us out of the Father's hand. And therefore, we're richly blessed as the people of God tonight. But Lord, there are those who do not have that assurance. There are those in this meeting, and they have to be honest, that should they die tonight in their condition, they would be in hell. But Lord, in thy mercy and in thy providence, you brought them to a gospel meeting. And you've given them one more opportunity to repent of their sin and call on the Lord in faith. Oh, Father, we pray that thy Spirit will strive tonight and that Christ will be glorified as souls call upon him. Lord, we need thee to move, for salvation is of the Lord. Lord, the preacher has been faithful, but, O Lord, we need thee to draw and to call and to transform tonight. And we pray we'll see signs following the preaching of thy word for the glory of thy name. Bless our brother for his faithfulness. Lord, we pray as he goes home, and we know often after preaching, the devil will seek to attack and discourage. But we pray you'll fill his heart with the joy of the Lord tonight, because the Lord has seen fit to use him. And Lord, bless him in future days. But Lord, our cry tonight as we leave this meeting, Lord, should we never meet down here again in this fashion, our prayer is that all will be gathered on heaven's bright shore. And when the roll is called up yonder, we'll all be there. Don't allow one to be missing, but make them start for heaven tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There's an inquiry room, just the first door. As you go out there on your left, do slip in there if you'd like to speak to your brother. And otherwise, we'll be at the door, and we certainly will help you for Christ's sake.